It's time for Garden Talk. And today on Garden Talk, we have Mardell Gunn and Jerry Belanco here to talk with us about what's going on in the garden areas.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Had some rain.
Had some rain. My garden's pretty happy because it likes the rain. And so now we're getting to the place that it's tipping the balance of having a little too much rain. But that's gardening.
That's
so,
the way it goes.
Yeah. So before we start with our questions, we did get some questions. Thanks very much to everybody out there. And we want more. Remember, it's garden@khns.org. So if you have a question, please email it in. Also, if you have comments, or if you think that what we're saying is dead wrong, email us, tell us, and we'd like to have this be an interactive conversation. So we got some questions. So
first one is from Leslie. Root maggots and how to prevent them. Do you have any suggestions other than securely pin down row covers, planting a little bit later, and putting diatomaceous earth around the stem? The brassicas really got it this year.
So I did a little bit of research, and I have quite a bit of personal experience about root maggots. So the deal is that root maggots, the damage is in their larvae. They're a fly that flies around. They're a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller than a house fly. And they will lay their eggs down along the stem of the plants. So what my prevention is that I wrap all of my brassicas in quilt batting, so that the flies will not, they can't get there to lay their eggs. And then I put a little plastic cover on top of that quilt batting. And that's worked pretty successfully for me for years. I stopped doing what a lot of people do, and I did for years, of covering all of my plants with Remay. Because what happened is one year as I went out there and my coops were completely full of flies. And the reason was that the root maggots had gotten in the year before and had laid their eggs, and so they were just there waiting to hatch, and they did, because they'll overwinter in the winter in the soil.
Okay, Mardell, you said brassica. Okay, could you explain that for
novices? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Brassicas are broccoli, cabbage, kale, all of those plants that we grow really easily here because they're cool, loving plants. But, you know, I learned, and then root maggots also really affect onions here. That's another big one, and radishes and turnips. And up until doing some research on this, I thought that that was all that root maggots went into. But that's not true. They'll go into any plant, but they're preferred. Is the ones that we just talked about.
We like non-discriminating pests.
Yeah, that's right. So,
but the Remay is really a good idea. If you plant from seed, you obviously can't take, if you plant directly into the soil from seed, you can't put batting around the base of the plant, so you do have to protect it.
That's right.
At Henderson this year, we used some PVC, bent PVC, or some bent poly tubing, and put Remay cloth over that, and secured it with some little plastic clips, so that it held it down, and we didn't have any trouble with root maggots at all. The other thing is that...
So was that in soil that never had any root maggots in it?
Don't know the answer to that, but the garden has had root maggots in it before.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I did in the community garden that was a separate plot is I put fly strips inside the hoop house, the small hoop house that I made, and within a week, it was covered with flies, and it was the kind of flies that, because they have a big thorax, it's a different looking fly, mm-hmm. So it was just covered with flies. So if you do have an area that you have, you don't have a choice about planting the brassicas in the same place again, then you can try the fly paper and see if the flies will stick to that, but try not to plant the same crop in the same area.
That's definitely the best answer, is to rotate your crops if you have the luxury of doing that. And let me mention another thing that another one of our answerers said, that, again, trying to deal with the flies that you already have and catching them. What she did is she took a little piece of fruit or meat and put in a jar with an inch or two of water in it and inverted a funnel, put the narrow end of the funnel into the jar. What'll happen is the flies are attracted into the jar, fly in there, can't get out. And so that's a very old-time way of catching flies.
So like you cut a plastic bottle in half.
You can do that.
And invert it.
Yeah, you can do that, or just take a mason jar and take a funnel and invert it into it.
All right.
Good is another
idea.
Way. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen it work successfully at catching the flies. So if you're in a place where you have to get these flies, the best thing is to prevent having them in your beds. But we can't always do that. So thanks for that question about root maggots. I think that's something that's a big problem. And, you know, I'll say that people say, well, I don't know if I have them. Well, if you go out in the middle of the day and you have any of your, let me rephrase that, not only brassicas, I'll expand it to say that's broccoli, or you have a kale, or you have a cabbage that's just kind of wilted in the middle of the day, there's a good chance that that's affected by root maggots. Root maggots they don't always kill the plant. They will kill the plant if those little larvae go in and they get to the taproot. But if they're just eating the outside roots, they're going to damage it and they're going to weaken it, but it won't be dead. So you could have root maggots, and if you have weakened plants, and they sometimes turn yellowish as well.
And if you have a big enough crop and you see some of the plants starting to look a little weak, pull one up and look at the roots, because you can actually see it. I mean, it looks like a small
little maggot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
if you see them, get them out of there. Take the soil around, take that root. Don't put it in your compost. Get rid of it. Put it in a non-garden area and take some soil around it, so you're going to get all of those maggots. And that's going to prevent them being in that bed next year as well. So,
okay.
So if anybody else has anything more to say about root maggots or answers or anything, please email us in and we will say that at another time.
Is there a particular vitamin or mineral that you can add to the soil that they are not attracted to?
I haven't heard that, but one thing that I am going to try that I read about is nematodes, that you can get beneficial nematodes to put in the soil in the spring, which isn't a vitamin, it's actually a little critter.
Bug.
Yeah, and it will eat the larvae or makes it so it's not appealing to them. And I haven't tried it, I don't have any personal experience. If anybody does, please email us in, I'd be curious about that.
Okay.
So on to another question. Let's see. Stephanie writes, every year I notice a gray coloring on the leaves of my wild bachelor buttons. This is long after they bloom. I usually cut them down and dispose of the leaves. This year I'm noticing the same gray film on thimbleberry leaves. Can you tell me what this is and what the proper procedures to take are?
Well, thank you for the question. The white material that appears on the top is actually a fungus infection. And if you imagine taking a cotton ball and dipping it in talcum powder and then touching the leaf at several different spots, that's what powdery mildew looks like in its early stages. Left to itself, it'll continue to cover the top and then the bottom of the leaves. Then the leaf will turn lightly yellow, then brown, and fall off. It doesn't usually infect the fruit of a plant. It saves that for other creatures, but it exposes fruit to the sunlight, so that you can get scald from having powdery mildew there. It likes weather that is hot and dry during the day, and cool and slightly moist at night. So this summer has just been an ideal environment for powdery mildew to grow. And there are different varieties that you can plant that are resistant to powdery mildew. And if you have had that problem, then I suggest that you search out some cultivars that are resistant. But when you talk about wild plants, you're subject to the environment. And you either have to tolerate it, which is what Stephanie has done wisely by just removing the material that's infected and disposing of it. But you're subject to the environment, or you have to use chemical control methods. Neem oil is one that you can use. Chlorothalonil is another that you can use. And go at it from that point.
One of my limited experience with powdery mildew, fortunately, is limited, is it's affected my zucchinis one year, and it's affected my delphiniums. The delphinium got taken out by it, actually, because I kind of ignored it and just let it go. But the zucchini, I read someplace that I could put milk on it. It seems really strange, but that's what I read. I did it, and the powdery mildew got better. And I never really knew whether the milk had anything to do with it or not, and I never will, but it did help.
Well, it's good research that, that milk does work. A 10% milk solution, you put an ounce of milk in a cup and bring it up to a whole ounce and put it in a spray bottle and squirt it on the plant. And you have to do this every week or 10 days, but it's much better than removing the plant or losing the leaves. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have a zucchini that's just about to put zucchini, you know, on. And so, and I feel very validated by it. But those of you who listened to You Bet Your Garden last week, Mike McGrath said the exact same thing.
Ooh.
So.
Okay. Another question. Talk about slugs. Nobody likes slugs. They're just gross. But in particular, Leslie didn't like them because they're getting getting her strawberries and gobbling them up before she had a chance to.
So let me talk about slugs, my experience with slugs a little bit. And I use Sluggo. I used to have huge problems with Sluggos, with slugs. I would go out at night and pick slugs off by the quart. So imagine how many slugs that is to fill a yogurt quart of slugs.
Gross.
That's how bad my slug infestation was. And I did that at night, night after night after night. And then I started using Sluggo. And what I do is I start in the spring and I put probably over the course of a year, I probably cover, the Sluggo comes in little pellets and it's a non-toxic pesticide. It does not harm anything, animals or the soil or anything. And I just disperse these little pellets about four or five times every year. And over the course, it took about 2 years for me to see results. And it's really knocked them back. It's not that I don't have any slugs, because slugs definitely grow in the lawn beside and the forest around me, but it's helped a lot. I still have some slug damage, but it's not major.
Some of the some folks use beer, will put beer in, drink most of the beer, and then put it up with the lip right at the edge of the soil. And we did that this year in the community garden, and we got an awful lot of earthworms, but we didn't get too many slugs.
I say drink the beer.
And the other thing is that worked very effectively was to take a strip that was about 8 or 10 inches of visqueen and lay it on the grass outside of the raised beds, and then put a piece of wood over the top of that. And then every morning, I'd go out in the morning and harvest slugs. Mm-hmm. And it killed that new batch. They got to eat during the night, but of course when they came to rest during the morning, then I got to them.
Mm-hmm.
And initially it started out I would get 20 or 30 slugs a day for each strip of visqueen, and after about 10 days I was getting one or two, and then it stopped almost completely. So it's very effective. Mechanical methods. My grandmother used to put bricks in the garden and turn them over and kill the slugs like that.
I did it with boards. It's the same thing. That's a good way to knock them back.
I did it with cornmeal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I put a yogurt container with cornmeal in it, turned it on its side. The slugs crawl in, they eat it, and they come out. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, because they're just posed like statues outside dead, and they're not slimy anymore. They're like statues.
Wow. So yeah. I didn't believe that until I was just at somebody's house who said that I heard that I could use cornmeal. I put it out there, and she had the same experience that there were slugs around this cornmeal. So that had died, that had eaten it.
It has to be in a covered container because it can't get wet, right?
I don't even remember
hers. It
has to be dry. Oh, I see.
It has to be dry. It's not like you can just, put
spread
it all around.
Spread
cornmeal. Right.
Well, let me tell you about another solution that I have not tried, but a couple people have tried this with great success. Mix 1 cup of ammonia with 1 gallon of water, and then take this and spray it on your plants. That solution of ammonia is mild enough that it's not going to hurt your plants, but it will help with slugs. And there's a local person here in town, Dick Flagel does this, is what we've heard, and with great success. And I have friends in Juneau who have been doing it for years. So one cup of ammonia with 1 gallon of water, don't go any bigger than more than that, because you'll kill your plants. So.
So are all these ideas going to be on some kind of a website that's... you're rolling your eyes.
There's a dream to make a wiki available for the Haynes Experience.
We hope
that's in the future.
Yeah. We hope we're going to do this, but it's summer and gardeners are really busy.
They are busy.
Yeah.
But if you have questions, right?
Keep the questions coming. Keep the comments coming. Interacting is what we want this to be. So.
All right. At KH Garden.
Garden at khns.org.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Thank you.
What a great show. I love this. I love this segment.